Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. It is Houston week. Luke Jones is out in Owings Mills all week long. I will be downtown eating crab cakes and shrimp salad and probably some mac and cheese and whatever else I want. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We'll be at Fadley's on Wednesday afternoon. Then, of course, next Monday after the Ravens play the Texans, we will be at Costas in Timonium. Don't go to Dundalk and look for crabs. Come to Timonium and get the crab imperial. We'll be there on Monday afternoon. I am booking guests. Luke's in Owings Mills. The Houston Texans are on their way to Baltimore, and we have no idea who's playing on our side with Lamar Jackson and Ronnie Stanley. We know Adebike gone for the year. We know Roquan won't play this week. Marlon Humphrey won't play this week. Steph Stradley is Texans chick. She is done a blog for a long time since the Texans have been around. She has a great Houston Oiler hat that I alerted her to from the eBay side, but she's all Texans now. It's all horns, and you've gotten rid of the Derrick. I probably should have worn my Derrick Henry Houston Oiler jersey, but I don't want to offend any of the people in Houston. It's offensive, I know, but it is such a damn good-looking jersey. It looks way better than the Dolphins looked on Monday night.
Those were grim jerseys. They have like their original kind of merino jerseys are the best. But I wore this hat because it's kind of an Earl Campbell 70s throwback hat. So it's something that we can both agree on. The Texans can't do anything with the Oilers merch because of IP. But what I understand is they're no longer going to be wearing those uniforms because they wore them against the Texans twice. And they lost in humiliating fashion twice, including to Case Keenum, the backup. So there we go. They are
Case Keenum came out of a tree and beat the Ravens one time when I was down there in Houston. So no, his name means something here in Baltimore.
No, Case Keenum is a legitimate guy. Like the, you know, I remember when he started with the Texans, and I think the number one reason why he was put on the team was they could stash him on the practice squad his first year because who was going to get a quarterback that small? And how long has he stayed in the league? Pretty long time.
Well, I still see Tyrod Taylor throwing my boy Joe Flacco leading the troops in Cleveland and all that. The Houston situation, and I'm asking you this because the first time I've talked to you, you and I did a whole thing on Deshaun Watson and him going to Cleveland and all that. We have the Justin Tucker thing here.
We don't say his name anymore.
Yeah, well, we have we speak truth here. The Watson situation in Cleveland and the Tucker situation here, is there anything that can break these franchises in regard to fan bases? And I don't know what it did to the Texans. I would say for me, Houston is one of those beaten up football cities to me. Every time I bring John McClain on, I bring any of you on, I think Oilers, I think Texans, and what the Texans haven't been able to do that the Ravens did here on behalf of the Colts and really on behalf of the Orioles, who have stunk here for 40 years too, is, you know, brought a little sports mojo. And I was A, shocked that the Oilers ever left Houston, B, shocked that it took you as long as it did to get you a team back. And now that it's back, I see empty seats in your stadium and I see things that I'm thinking, well, this hasn't been such a great run, and I know you're Texans chick and you're rah-rah-rah shish-boom-bah Texans, but I would think in the community there, it's been a mixed bag as in regard to support of the Texans franchise and being a first flag season ticket holder and still sticking around 20 years later, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think without getting too much into the weeds of things, the things that happened during the COVID era were really hard on a lot of different people for a lot of different reasons. You know, we have a very similar situation where the franchises started at around the same time. So your season ticket holder base is aging. And now we have, and this is an every franchise, just about every franchise thing, which is easy to sell digital tickets on Ticketmaster, make it easier to sell them to anyone as opposed to selling them to other season ticket holders. There's no way, there is no mechanism to just sell it to other ticket holders. And so some people, if they're not feeling a particular team, and you know, both of the teams this year have had a dreadful start of the season, people aren't feeling it. And there were some bad things that happened during the COVID era that I would probably not want to revisit too much beyond the Deshaun Watson stuff. But, you know, there are people in the building that are trying to rebuild trust with people. And I hope they do it Like, it's been fun. It's been fun. And, beating the Titans last week, that was super fun because
Well, we have
humiliating the
that with
Titans in every
Indianapolis,
respect
but
is
no
great.
more. You know what I mean? Like the
Huh?
Indianapolis thing is so 40 years ago. The
Yeah.
Indianapolis Colts came
Yeah.
to Baltimore, stayed
Yeah.
in Owings Mills, practiced against the Ravens at the Ravens, and nobody even says anything about the horseshoe anymore because it's just sort of gone. And I would think the
Yeah.
Tennessee Titans don't piss you off as much as when they wear Oilers stuff. But in a general sense, your own franchise and what you are, I think part of that is over the Astros over the last 10 years have come on in a way. And you have a
Yeah.
lot of people in you. It's a big place. There's enough people there to fill four franchises if you had a hockey franchise, right?
Absolutely. Like
Yeah.
I think one of the difficulties is that the Panthers and the Jags back in the day had such early success that when the Browns and then later the Texans came on board, their franchise terms were not as good as the Panthers and the Jaguars, the expansion terms. And so that put the Texans behind. And if you bet wrong on quarterback, all that kind of stuff, if you don't have a quarterback, it's messed up. But to me, D'Amico Ryans makes such a big difference. D'Amico Ryans is the head coach of the Houston Texans. He was Defensive Player of the Year his rookie year in 2006. Before he even finished that camp, they were already calling him Cap for captain. Like, that's the kind of guy he is.
He oozes that. It's very obvious what a leader of men
He
he is.
is a brilliant person and really good with people. Not everybody necessarily buys into how he does things, but the people that don't buy in just don't know who he is as a person. And the one of the reasons why he came back to Houston is he's trying to finish the business that he wasn't able to do as a player. He didn't finish his business as a player for the same reason a lot of people don't that are great players, which is he got an Achilles injury here, and then eventually went to the Eagles and got an Achilles injury there. But having his life experience really does make him just really sharp about running the team. They've gone to the playoffs the last 2 years. The first year, some people didn't think that they would go to the playoffs. I thought they would because he is a very competitive person, and they didn't have a head coach. And so just, having good players and having a proper head coach makes a huge difference. Now, the issue this year for the Texans is they have transitioned a lot of things on offense all at the same time. They went from one of those offenses where you don't do a lot of pre-snap stuff to being an offense where CJ Stroud has a lot more responsibility, the wide receivers have a lot more responsibility, and then they got two rookie wide receivers this year that are very promising, but they're rookies. And they got a rookie left tackle who is just starting, like the rookie left tackle. Like his first game against the Rams, he was pushed into being right tackle. Like just your first game as a rookie is right tackle against the Rams, a team that may know your offense better than you do. And even then, the Texans lost their first three games, but could have won each of those and had kind of fluky things happen the fourth quarter. The game against the Titans, they did what they are supposed to do against a good team. It was close in the first half, and then they just stomped on their neck.
And D'Amico Ryans, I feel like there's a recruitment level of your community that I've talked about this week here with the Orioles, right? The Orioles finished in last place again. They had this really weird press conference on Monday with the manager they're not going to hire, who was an interim manager, and then the general manager who fired the manager and hid for 4 days before he held a press conference. So there's not great leadership. But the one thing I've talked about is sort of the recruitment of a community when you've breach their trust. I mean, the Deshaun
Yeah.
Watson thing, in regard to COVID, in regard to not winning, in regard to all of that, sort of
It was
breached the
beyond
fans'
Deshaun. It
trust.
was beyond Deshaun Watson. Like, you saw who, like they had David Culley as the head coach because there were people in leadership positions that nobody wanted to work with. And I don't even say their names anymore because there's no point. They tried, they didn't work well. But like if you have David Culley and Lovie Smith as your head coaches for 2 years because you had people in the building that deterred having quality head coaches. That's what happened. And so that's what D'Amico Ryans has kind of dug out from. But the thing about D'Amico Ryans is he's so appealing as a person and as a head coach that there are players that want to play for him, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Like, so Danielle Hunter is a great pass rusher. He's on the other side of Will Anderson Jr. And he's one of the, but Danielle Hunter is one of the best edge rushers in the league. He's huge, and he's from Houston, Morton Ranch High School.
So there is a recruitment level there that
Yes.
needs
Yeah.
to
Oh,
be done.
definitely. Definitely. And CJ Stroud is trying to be that guy on offense. And, you know, he hasn't had a lot of help because, you know, they had all sorts of issues on the offensive line. They're trying to fix that. But, you know, it's kind of like a rocket ship. Every season's like a rocket ship. You blast off and you think that you have a plan and it's going to go this way. And then things happen and you have to fix that craft as you're flying to the moon. You have a couple days to fix the things that you saw the game before. That's the hardest thing in the world, especially in an injury sport where you can't count on anything staying right, as you guys know
Oh, it's a
on
week.
your end.
It's a week here. Like the Ravens are favored again this week after being favored in Kansas City. And I'm thinking, have you seen their defense play? Have you seen what they look like with Roquan Smith and Matt Ebike? And now they're going to play without them for the rest of the month, if not the rest of the year, in Matt Ebike. What the Ravens have planned to put on the field back in April, May, and June, and what's on the field right now
Yeah.
in week five, going into week five as a 1-3 team that has been just beaten up pretty good by the Detroit Lions, by the Kansas City Chiefs the last 2 weeks. This is the strangest year, and what a week at 1-3 with the Texans coming in and the thought that Lamar might not play, Cooper Rush might play, the Ronnie Stanley thing's a mess on our offensive side. I mean, if there's a time where the Houston Texans are getting the Ravens at the right time, Steph Stradley, this is it. This is the right week for you guys.
Well, you know, it has not been great when the Texans have played the Ravens, so I'm guessing the money sees that history. But, you know, history's history, and these are new teams. And they're, you know, the Texans are a really hungry team. They're trying to figure out who they are on offense. They have pieces and parts on their offense that are incredibly good. It's just that they have to make sure that they don't shoot themselves in the foot. The coming out party this last game was for Woody Marks, great player, played USC. He's a rookie. They got him as a running back, as kind of a compliment to Joe Mixon, who may or may not play this whole season. You know, he didn't even come into camp because of a non-specified injury. But the nice thing about Woody Marks is he can catch the ball too. And so they want their running backs to be able to run the ball and catch the ball because they want to put pressure on defenses. Now they were able to do that in the second half of the Titans game, but the Titans are their own, like they are a vortex of suck this year, like in a whole different category of you know, the Ravens and the Texans seasons in some ways are very similar in that the early schedule did neither team any favors. And so, but like you know, it's a marathon. Like you've seen over the course of long, long seasons, you know, the teams that you think suck early in the year, it's because they had harder competition, but you don't know how hard the competition is until you have like more of a season where you can see, okay, is this really a good team or is this a team this year that just doesn't have it?
Steph Stradley is here. She covers all things Houston Texans. She's down in beautiful city of Houston, wearing her very Texan cowboy hat on my thing here. You know, I'm still scoping out Oilers stuff. I still buy Oilers stuff, and I have that Derrick Henry jersey. Is there Oilers stuff that you even see in Houston anymore? Because when I've been down there, it feels like the Oilers never played there. Kind of like if you're in Baltimore, you would think the Colts have never been here. There's no thought of that. But when they wore those jerseys, I didn't reach to you at that point because it was late in the season and weird and
Yeah.
the games haven't mattered. But I've had McClain on a couple of times. I've had Pastorini on. And I think there's some sentiment about that. But there is a part where, like, nobody thinks about the Oilers in Houston unless it kind of gets thrown up and their pretty jerseys come back out, right?
Yeah, I mean, the league has clearly wanted to stoke the fires of a rivalry. You know, they put them in the same division. They did the Oilers jerseys. You know, the younger people,
Amy
that's
Adams
it
wants to
is.
sell the stuff in her gift shop, apparently, right? I mean, that's I
Whatever.
guess.
Well, the biggest issue that I had with it is in the back of the neck it said Love You Blue, and Love You Blue has a very specific Houston meaning. It's this, as Bum Phillips told us, it's the special relationship that those teams had with the city of Houston because they were our neighbors, that they were our friends, and that they were trying to win for us. And the whole energy of Love You Blue, even in devastating losses, is that we were all together as a community. And that feeling is very specific to Houston, so that it was just being used for merch for the people that took the team away, because it's not money is the root of all evil, it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And that is the Greek tragedy, which is the Tennessee Titans, that
Well, that's
they.
the NFL. When I wake up on Sunday and they're playing in London and they're playing in Ireland, I mean, every single one of the reasons they threw me out of locker rooms because I did my job pretty well and they really wanted you to go to Ravens.com. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, so
Well, I mean,
you know.
not everybody's like that. And if you can see the parts of the NFL that are always looking for your wallet, but you also, and you know this yourself, you can see the pure moments where if you hang around any number of sports people, they are remarkable people as a group. Like, to get to play at the highest level, you have to be a good teammate to people. And I see so many genuine things every game where people are cool to each other. Like, this is a great example. It made a big deal that a poor Texan fan got beat up, a woman got beat up at the Rams game. And it made all sorts of news that, hey, this is what happened to an away fan. And it was terrible. And it's one of those upper deck things, which sometimes happens.
I've been talking about this for 30 years because 30 years ago when the team came here, I've sat in your upper deck. I've sat in the upper deck in every stadium in the league as a fan during a Ravens game with my reporter's notebook and my pass to go into the locker room after the game. But I've sat in the upper deck with my brother who lived in Houston the first years when the Texans were there and they stunk and everybody yells the players' names, when they get introduced. I've loved the experience down there.
Well, and the thing about it with that Rams game is, even though that made the news, somebody got beat up, but what the experience for a lot of people was is that there was a tailgate that invited all these traveling Texans to come, and we hung out with them in their very tiny tailgates because they only have one tailgate lot. We hung out with them. We enjoyed talking about the game with them. And it was a very uplifting experience. And then I went into the game and had a very uplifting experience with the Rams fans around me. And that's what it's all about. Is that news? No, that's not news. So there's going to be some Texan fans going to the Ravens game. There's not going to be a lot because we're not a legacy franchise. But I can tell you the time that I went there for the playoff game was one of the most uplifting times I've ever had in my life. There's video
Were you
out
one of the
there.
people in the red in City Hall when you came in here? Was that you? There was a
No.
whole bunch of Texans fans that came for that playoff game where Joe Flacco beat you guys, and
Yeah.
you took over our City Hall. You went down on Saturday afternoon. There's nobody downtown, and there was all Texans stuff in front of our City Hall. And I'm like,
No.
I pull some shit on the road. I should come up with that. I was
No,
taking
you.
over their city. We did that in Indianapolis once. We took over Maryland Avenue in Indianapolis. I thought that was kind of good, but I thought the Texans, of all the fan bases that have come in here and created trouble, your fans came in with all your red and you went down to our city hall and you put big Texans flags up. It was a
Well,
thing. It was a thing.
my personal experience for that game was my friend and I got the absolute last two tickets on the airplane the night before the game. So we were sitting next to the bathrooms in the back. So we missed all the fun on that Saturday, but the Sunday morning we all showed up, all met in each other's like hotels, and we all walked to Mother's. And then we had a big party at Mother's, and then walked to a tailgate where we were invited. And some people were like, "Why are you here?" And it's like, "We don't like the Steelers either." And then we're all friends. We're not Cowboy fans.
Well, I mean,
And we
Cowboys
drank
are a
all your
different thing in your
beer
part of the
and
world.
had a nice time until our team lost. Although I will say that game was close enough with TJ Yates as the quarterback that at one moment I'm like, I've turned to this big guy behind me and I'm like, look, you guys are going to win this game probably, but if you don't, I have to walk back to this hotel. So could you walk my friend and I back to our hotel?
In your red jerseys. Steph
No,
Stratton is here. She's in Houston.
I was wearing a red suede jacket with like there was no hiding, like there's no taking off the jersey to walk back. I was wearing red sparkling pants. Like that was the attire that day. But it was a great time. We don't have any beef with Ravens. Did love Baltimore when I was there. Wanted to go back again this weekend, but I'm going to ACL.
All right, well, you go to
Austin City
ACL and
Limits
you go do your
Festival.
Austin thing and go have fun, go listen to music, go do all that stuff. Steph Stradley's here. She's the world's biggest Houston Texans fan. She's Texans chick. She also blogs out on the interwebs about all things Texans. And you mentioned tailgate. I'll just leave you with this, and I would tell anybody this, going around the league, and I've been to all the stadiums and all the places. Your tailgate is uniquely Texan, and it is also the weather's usually good. So I would tell people,
Hot.
if you're going to Houston, make sure you find Steph Stradley in her funny hat and go out there and have some proper barbecue, cook some beef on a grill, do it up. Go to Nymphis, original Nymphis before the game or whatever, go get some good Latin food, some good
No,
Tex-Mex while you're down there.
I gotta tell you, one of the proudest things of my whole life is for the Chargers Texans playoff game at the beginning of this year. Our tailgate, which is not very big, won tailgater of the game because it was so loving and it was such a great day, and it was beautiful. Arian Foster's whole family came out because he was being honored before the game. And it was just nice. We're all just family. And that's the best part of tailgating is, we just do things up where people bring what they cook the best, or their donut shop up the street. And that's what it's all about, is just the community and gassing each other up and checking on each other's kids and just, chilling and enjoying football together. Like football, not like the how do we talk about football? No, talking about the football. And this game's going to be an interesting game. It's going to be a test of the coaches to see if they can get the best of their players, even when situation's not necessarily ideal.
Well, I'll get a scorecard for this week. We're going to need that for our defense to figure out who's out on the field. Steph Stradley covers all things Houston Texans. We play the Houston Texans 1 o'clock on Sunday. Lucas and Owings Mills all week long. Covering it all. If there's breaking news, you'll get it first on the WNST Tech Service. That is all brought to you by our friends at Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy, getting that solar project together. Also, our friends at GBMC working our injury report. And, I hope to get back down to Houston at some point. I keep threatening
Please.
McClain that I'm going to come down for an Astros Orioles game at some point or something like that. My cousin lives in Houston, down in Katy, Texas, so I got to get down there. But I love the hat, and if I find any really esoteric Oilers stuff, you always get a text from me when I see
Yes,
really weird
yes.
stuff. And
I love it.
when I find really weird stuff, I show it to my wife, and she has no interest in the Oilers or, my old childhood fascination with the Oilers. But hold on a second. I've picked up a few Oilers things here along the way that I want to share with you because I have them. I started collecting these 1971 NFL belt buckles because this is my
Yeah.
original 1971. I got this at Christmas 1973. I was 5 years old. This is my
Oh,
Baltimore Colts belt buckle.
wow.
So I'm on the web and I collect these rock and roll belt buckles. And when I saw this belt buckle right here, I said to myself, is there a better belt buckle in the world
That's
than this? That's pretty sweet, right? And then I started finding these 1970 medallions that they did back in the day. So look at how beautiful these, look at that logo. What's better? Look out, football. Here we come. Houston Oilers,
You
number one.
know, I like to respect the players during that time. I have to say the Oilers memorabilia is very specific to people, and it hurts. I have to say it hurts. Like I have to say it screwed up almost an entire decade of football for me. So I just
You know
have,
what Bob Irsay did to this community? Yeah. I mean, I, you
Well,
know.
and winning a Super Bowl helps with some of that. The Texans getting better, that would help it. And actually time. Like I can remember all of that happening like it was yesterday. And Houston does what Houston does. We didn't make that history, But what you do is you take the bad thing and you make it the good thing.
Right, you trade out. That's why we went Ravens here instead of Colts. So I mean, I hear. Listen, when I saw them running around in those jerseys in
That was
Nashville,
blissful.
I knew how angry it would make you because listen, I was in Memphis.
It wasn't even angry. It's just disrespectful. It's just
Just don't do
disrespectful to
that. Just don't do that.
everybody.
Right.
It's disrespectful to everybody's memory, and they should know better. But they shouldn't know better because the Adams family is a bunch of weird, no-class people who run their franchise in a weird way and have been specifically cursed by me to never win anything and only embrace suffering until the end of time. And that I love watching them get their ass kicked by the Texans and by every other team. And I will enjoy that hopefully when I'm in heaven as well. Like, I hope I
I
get to enjoy
felt that
them
way
losing.
about Indianapolis, believe me. When
Yes.
Peyton Manning got there, I dropped it about 10, 11, the year of the Super Bowl, the year that Cundiff
Yeah.
missed the kick here in 11. So I'm about 14 years out where I went to therapy and this doesn't bother me anymore. But it took me a lot of therapy. It took me a lot of visits to Indianapolis, including with my wife, where I would land and I'd be like, I hate everything about all of this and all of I went through all of
Yeah.
that. I've just I turn
No, my thing
57 next
is,
week.
I don't need therapy about it. I have just decided that I forgive a lot of people, but they don't want forgiveness. The NFL doesn't want forgiveness. The NFL wants this to be a rivalry.
They want
So,
you to buy a Love You Blue Derrick Henry jersey like I did. That's what they want. That's all they care
no,
about. They want to
well,
make money off
that's
the
what they
Eagles.
tried to do, but I
Right.
don't want any part of
All right. Well, you got that Bum Phillips hat, and that's all that matters.
that.
From my perspective, Steph Stradley's here. She's the queen of all things Houston. The Texans and the Ravens getting together at 1 o'clock on Sunday. I shall see you over some original Nymphas or something like that down on Westheimer Road, somewhere in the West End. All right.
Guaranteed.
All
No, we're
right.
going to do it on East Navigation, which is where the original Nymphas is.
Had one of the great experiences of my life on Westheimer Road at one point. Steph Stradley's
Oh,
here. It's a
I'm not
long
going to talk
story.
about what you can do on Westheimer.
It involved a pickup truck. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Ravens football. A little bit of Texans, a little bit of Houston, but a lot of Baltimore positive. Stay with us.